Now, as we are all very much aware, as we go through life, there are some difficult experiences that we all have to face. The experience of sorrow comes to all of us at some point or other. Most likely, possibly the first is to lose grandparents, then parents, possible wife or husband, even child. And we know that the grief that could press in upon people at such occasions, a sense of loneliness afterwards very often, the deep sense of loss. It's a hard providence. Then others of us maybe have to deal with frustration. Frustration possibly that life hasn't achieved what we hoped when we set out on life's journey. The dreams that we had when we were young maybe have not been fulfilled. And as we move on into older years and latter years, we look back with many regrets and say, well, why didn't I do this and why didn't I do that? And it all can be very frustrating and difficult to deal with. And there are so many other experiences as well, aren't there, which can be difficult and hard for Christians to bear. But maybe the one which is most common today, and maybe one I'm sure that is affecting most of us here tonight, is worry. Anxiety. We worry about things. I meet lots of Christians who say, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. Some people say to me, I'm sick with worry. And so how do we as Christians deal with anxiety? Now, as we know tonight, as we come to the service, there could be all manner of things about which we can be genuinely anxious and worried. Maybe your health is a matter of concern. And you'd be quite open maybe to say to your fellow Christians, I'm worried about it. Maybe in this economic climate, there are some who say, well, I'm worried about my work. There is threat of unemployment to great numbers of people, council workers and so on and so forth. Am I going to lose my job? How will I pay the mortgage? I'm worried. Older folk find that their savings are not producing maybe as much income as they expected them to, and say, well, how am I going to deal with retirement? I'm worried. Young couples wanting to buy houses find it difficult to get mortgages, and they say, well, where are we going to live? We're worried. All these different things affect Christians as they affect the people in the world. But the question is, how do we deal with it? Now, as you know, as Christians, we are to deal responsibly with every life situation. We are to deal responsibly and spiritually with every problem and difficulty that comes up. But we all know as well, don't we, where we cross the line from what we would regard as sensible, rational, proper consideration of an issue to becoming a worry. We all know in our own experience where that line is, where suddenly something which we've been addressing and thinking about quite rationally and quite coolly and calmly and collectedly, suddenly it becomes a worry. And you're awake at night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and everything seems so dark, so difficult. And maybe very often not just one worry, but maybe you've got a little bunch of them together, a group of them, all pressing in, and your mind there, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, is dashing everywhere. And then, of course, you feel unwell, the stomach churns, you become hot and cold, you can feel sick. People say that, I'm sick with worry. And you believe them, they really feel physical symptoms because of that anxiety which they're going through. So what we're going to do tonight is see what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to us on this whole subject. And so we come into the Sermon on the Mount and to the passage in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew from verse 25 on to verse 34, where Jesus Christ deals with this one condition, the condition of worried disciples, anxious disciples. Now, I don't know whether you are mathematicians or not, but 10% of the Sermon on the Mount is given to dealing with the question of worry. If you count the verses, more than prayer. Now, I know we mustn't read too much into all this, but I think it is significant, isn't it? That 1/10 of the Sermon on the Mount, which deals with so many other matters of great relevance and importance in the Christian life, that 10% of the Sermon on the Mount is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to dealing with his disciples' worries. I think he knows us very well. He knows the human frame. He knows what we are like. And he knows that there is something in the human frame, in the human life, that is given to worrying and to being anxious. And so 10% of the sermon to dealing with one aspect of our Christian living. It comes over and over again, doesn't it, in this passage. Therefore, verse 25, I say to you, do not worry about your life. It comes in verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? It comes in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Then it comes in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Bang, bang, bang. Do not worry, do not worry. That is what he's telling us quite bluntly here, is that as Christians we should not be worrying. Well, that's what he seems to be saying, isn't it? You know, these commands are quite clear, they're quite explicit. Do not worry. As if he's saying to his disciples, well, look, you can do this. You shouldn't be worrying. Don't worry. Now, at that point, I can imagine maybe some here feeling a little bit depressed at that point. Saying, wow, this doesn't help at all. You don't know me. I'd be worried if I wasn't worrying about something. There are people like that, aren't there? You know, I'm a worrier. And here is Jesus Christ telling us that I shouldn't be worrying. And, well, what sort of a disciple am I if I'm worried? This sermon is depressing me already. It's really getting me down. Well, we know our Lord Jesus Christ well enough to know that that's what he doesn't try to get us down. He wants to lift us up. And so we come to this passage and ask, well, how is he lifting us up? Well, I think the first point to be made is this. There are two ways of saying it, aren't there? You have some friends sometimes who come to you and say, don't worry. And then you have another friend who comes, puts his arm around your shoulder and says, don't worry. There's a difference, isn't there? And I feel that that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ said it here. Not as I read it a few minutes ago. Bang, bang, bang. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I'm quite sure that this is the way he spoke. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's the way he said it. So why do you worry about clothing? Therefore, do not worry. That's the way he said it. Full of compassion. Full of tenderness. Full of feeling. Knowing that it is a real experience. That it's something that really happens to people. That we worry. And it makes us sick. And he wants to help us to come through it. So you can imagine him putting his arm around somebody saying, look, don't worry. Listen to what I have to say. I deal with it. And so in this passage, we find the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with this whole question of anxiety and worry. So what do we find in the passage? Well, you see, when we read the passage carefully, not only do we find these commands or exhortations not to worry, but we find that he gives us the reasons why we should not worry. He isn't just standing before us and say, well, look, come on, now let's back up now. Let's not worry about these things. No, he says, I want you to think certain things through. And as you think these things through, I hope, he says, that your worry will just disappear like the mists of the morning. That is, he's giving us reasons for what he says. Now, if I may digress here for a moment. Now, as we know, in the Christian life, having been converted and become Christians, how do we then live the Christian life? Where does the first change happen if you are going to become a sanctified, holy follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the answer very simply is in the mind. You remember what Paul says at the beginning of Romans chapter 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where Christian living begins. With a mind thinking differently. With a mind thinking the thoughts of God. With a mind thinking in God's ways. And out of that then follows the actions, the deeds, the words, and whatever we do. It all begins in the mind. And that's true especially when we come to the question of anxiety and worry. Now, sometimes some people think of worry as an emotional thing, or maybe something that affects your will, things that stops you doing things. But that's not what it is in the beginning, is it? Worry is in the mind. What happens at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're awake? Well, your mind is like an express train, imagining all manner of evil and terrible things. You know the sort of thing. You can get up in the morning maybe and you've got a little lump on your hand. And you think, the first thought is, well, maybe it's a little pimple. And then you rub it and say, well, maybe it's a bit more than a pimple. Maybe it's a cyst. And your mind is working, you see, it's thinking. And cyst. And here's Mrs. Jones down the road, she had a cyst. Is it benign or is it cancerous? Oh, and the mind is working. And in 2 minutes, you're dead. It's your mind. Your mind, you see, has fallen a train of thought. Your mind is active. And so how do you deal with anxiety and with worry? Well, in the mind. And that's why Jesus Christ gives reasons. What he's doing in this passage is this. When you feel that you're going over the line from reasonable, sensible consideration of a subject to the realm of worry, stop and think about what I'm telling you. Turn your thoughts and your mind to these 7 points that I'm now going to put before you. And that's what he does in this passage. He gives us 7 things to think about when we're given to worrying and to anxiety. And no doubt he thought it would work. He is the Son of God. And if he gives reasons why we shouldn't worry, we take note. And then we ask ourselves, well, when such life situations come across me in the future, can I then say to myself, well, now I've got to stop thinking about this thing which is worrying me, and I've got to think about the 7 things that Jesus Christ said I should be thinking about so that I don't worry. Now, at that point, somebody else might object and say, well, hold on, there are only 10 verses here, and here you are telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ made 7 points. Isn't he moving on a bit quick from one to the next? Well, of course, what you have to remember, you see, that this is not a verbatim report of the Sermon on the Mount. If you read chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, you could read it all in about 6-7 minutes. Was that the length of the Sermon on the Mount when it was actually preached? Read Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You could read it in 4 minutes. Was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost only 4 minutes long there in Jerusalem? Well, no. These are summaries, these are outlines, these are a synopsis, as it were, of what was said. They are not just verbatim telling us everything. They'd be considerably longer if that was the case. And so when we come to these 7 points, no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ expanded on each and every one of them as he went along. And that's why he moves quickly from one to the other in this precis, if you like, that we have before us. But the 7 points are still there, as clear as daylight. So what's the first one? Well, the first one is in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And this is the point, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, we have to be quite careful with the way the Lord Jesus Christ does it here. He's not talking abstractly about this whole issue. He's talking in terms of pictures and illustrations. He's talking in terms of bodies and foods and clothing and so on and so forth. But the point he's trying to make here, to begin with, you see, is that there is more to life than that thing which worries you. There is more to the body than clothing. Clothing is just one aspect of the body. There's more to life than that one thing which worries you. And isn't that true? Very often, when you become worried about something, it takes over, doesn't it? It becomes an obsession, practically, with you. There are some people who are concerned, in this modern age which we live in, with losing weight, as we know. And when you talk to these people, that's all they talk about. Is there a big worry? How can they lose weight? And as you know, it can become such an obsession with some that they finish up anorexic. What's happened? Well, they've lost sight of the rest of life. And the first point the Lord Jesus Christ makes is this. Look at the whole of life. Yes, you may be worried about your health, but take a step back and look at all the other things that are quite right in your life. Wonderful marriage, lovely children, comfortable home, Take a step back. Don't let that one thing take over. Many of you are familiar with the geography of the seafront in Aberystwyth. I was in the theological college there a great number of years ago. And theological college, as you know, was by the pier. And in the time I was there in theological college, there were evangelical students and there were non-evangelical students. And very often tensions used to arise between us, you know, things could get a bit heated in discussion and so on and so forth. And then that cloistered, you know, sort of all gathered together, it could get on top of you. And you think, oh, this is the world and all its problems are here. But I had a great release. Like Hubert here, I used to do cross-country running. And I used to run to the top of Constitution Hill, you know, the hill at the far end of the promenade. And when you're there, right at the top of Constitution, you look back over Aberystwyth, the great sea to the right, the Irish Sea, Mount Isa Wales to the left, the great town of Aberystwyth in front of you. And there, a little speck in the distance, by the pier, the theological college. Take a step back. And suddenly all the problems of the theological college just evaporated. There was more to life than the problems of the theological college. It was the vastness of the sea and the mountains. And that's the first bit of advice the Lord Jesus Christ says when you get worried. That one thing that takes over, say to yourself, stop. Let me step back and look at the whole of my life in one piece. There is more to life than food. And there is more to body than clothing. The first point to help us to deal with this condition of worry. Put it in the context of everything else in your life. And you realize that you can count your many blessings. Oh yes, you've got that worry. There is that thing that has to be dealt with. There is that problem. There is that difficult providence. But you can count your many blessings. And that lifts the soul. That was number one. Number two, consider God's care. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And this is the point. Are you not of more value than they? Do you look at birds? Well, that's what Jesus Christ says here. Do you obey his commands literally? Now, people out there will think that we are mad. But I'm telling you tonight, look at birds. Because Jesus Christ tells us, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air, he says. Do you, when you get worried, go out to the garden, look at the birds? That's what he says you should do. And why do you do that? Well, he says, nature cares for the birds. God cares for the birds. We are told in another place that a sparrow does not fall to the ground without the knowledge of our Heavenly Father. And so says the Lord Jesus Christ, if he cares for birds, how much more will he care for you? Aren't you much more valuable than they? Now, you ladies no doubt have jewelry. And most jewelry, and I hope I'm not being rude or insulting at this point, is somewhat inexpensive. And so you have it in an open dish on your dressing tables. If it disappeared, it got lost, it would be the end of the world. That's the level of care. But lo and behold, on one birthday, your husband goes over the top and produces this necklace. Wow, well, you can see straight away that this is not just inexpensive jewelry. This is costly. And when you've dug a little bit, £1,000, wow. And then you say, well, I can't just leave it on the dressing table. I better lock it up in a drawer. It's more valuable, greater care. And then comes the day when somebody maybe leaves you something else in a will, and when you get it priced and costed, it's worth £100,000. And at that point, you say, we better have a safe in the house with a lock and a key and everything else. Why? It's more valuable. The more the value, the greater the care. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ says here. God cares, he says, for birds, but how much more valuable are you? So what is our value tonight in the sight of the Son of God and of God himself? Well, we've been created in the image of God. That's our value. We are not of the same order of creation as birds and animals and everything else. We are a different order of creation. We have been created in the image of God. That's our value. He put this stamp on us. And what is our value? Well, when he saw man going astray and falling into sin, he valued us so dearly that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him as a gift to humanity, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's our value in the sight of God. And so, secondly, says the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are crossing the line into worry, remind yourself that God cares for you. Yes, the difficult providence may be hard to deal with at the moment. You're not quite sure what to make of it. You're not quite sure how you're going to deal with it. But say to yourself, stop. He cares. He cares. Third, which of you, verse 27, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, of course, as you know, some translations today speak about adding a moment to your life. Maybe that is a better translation. That Jesus Christ is not merely thinking here about growing taller, but he's thinking about extending life. And that's true, isn't it? That people are today are interested in living longer. But you see, as Christians tonight, we know something about life, don't we? We know that we will not die 1 second earlier or 1 second later than God has determined. Our life is in his hands. You can't change that. It's a set. So what is he saying here? Why worry about things which you can't change? Because worrying does not change anything. Worrying, in modern language, is a waste of space. It doesn't achieve anything. And that's true, isn't it? You could spend all night worrying about something, and then when you get up in the morning, nothing's changed. The problem is still the same as it was the night before when you went to bed. The difficulty is exactly the same, and nothing has changed at all, although you've been worrying about it all night. And I'm ever grateful to someone who taught me this lesson very early on in my Christian life. Like many youngsters here tonight, in school, college, you have to sit exams. And I'm sure we all know what it is to get worried before the exams come. And I remember somebody saying to me very early on, do you realize, he said, that if you worry for 5 minutes, you won't add any extra marks to the exam. But if you could stop worrying and work for 5 minutes, you might get one extra mark. And the logic of that for me was irresistible. Was irresistible. And so whenever I ever felt a panic coming on, you know, with exams looming on the horizon, and I'd be given to worrying, I'd say, stop. This is not adding any marks, and I want marks. I'll work. See, worrying doesn't change anything. That's the third point Jesus Christ makes. You can worry till the cows come home, and nothing changes. So why worry? Now, some of these arguments don't sound particularly spiritual. They sound a little bit more like common sense sometimes. But he brings them all in. Step back and look at life. Remind yourself that God cares for you. Tell yourself worry doesn't change anything, so it's a waste of space. So let's not do it. And then we come to the fourth in verse 28 to 30. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Now again, you see an argument from the lesser to the greater. But what's he saying here? Now at this point, some people may say, oh, we're back with the birds now. It's the same point. No, it's not the same point at all. It's a different point. What's the point here? Well, he says here, consider God's generosity. Think of the lily. Did he have to create it so beautiful as it is? Couldn't he have cut back a little bit on the shades and the aroma and the form? You know, couldn't he have, you know, skimped a bit? No. There's an abundance about the beauty of the lily. So much so, says the Lord Jesus Christ, that Solomon in all his glory is not as beautiful as one of these. That is that God is generous, even towards a flower. He's shown generosity to the flower in its very creation. He didn't have to. He could have pulled back. But no, he was generous. There's a bounteousness here in God's care. And the point he's making is this, that if God can be so bounteous, outrageously grand and glorious in creating lilies, how much more is that his general attitude towards you, his children? Now, is that point so important? Well, you see, what happens very often when you get worried, the devil comes in. And you're worried about something in life and some problem that's come up, and the devil comes and says, oh, you've got a hard God. You know, you've got a stingy old God. Look what he's putting you through. You look at the difficulties he's putting in your way. Look at this worry he's put on your path. Isn't he a hard God? Isn't he tyrant? Isn't he a bit, you know, grasping? You know, he's not giving you very much here, is he? You know, and the devil comes and brings doubts into our mind about the abundance of God. And we begin to think that we have got a small God, that we have got rather a narrow-minded God, that we have got a God who's a little bit unfair with us and is a bit stingy. No, says the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been looking at the birds, go and look at the lilies as well. And as you look at the lilies, you say, wow, did he have to make it as beautiful? This is the nature of his heart. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. That's the God we're dealing with. When we're going through the hard tribulations and the hard, difficult providences of life, those things that tip us over to worry and anxiety, there in heaven is this bounteous God. That's the fourth point that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. The fifth comes in verse 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The fifth point is the omniscience of the heavenly Father, that he knows everything. He knows. Now, we know that doctrine in our heads, don't we? If I asked you, can you give me the qualities of God, what's true about the attributes of God tonight, I'm quite sure you could all give me the list. Your theology is okay. And you say, God is all present, God is all knowing, God is all powerful. You know, we can churn it all out. But we don't often bring the doctrine from this great theological realm down to our lives and say, well, if God is all knowing, he knows everything about me. And he knows exactly when I wake up in the morning at 2 o'clock to worry. He knows. And he knows exactly what I'm worrying about as well. Now, you see, sometimes you come across people, don't they, who are going through difficult experiences, and they say to you, nobody understands. Have you met somebody like that? They say to you, oh, nobody understands what I'm going through. But the Christian can never say that, because there is one who understands. He knows. He knows exactly the cause of your worry. He knows the degree of your worry. He knows the churning of the stomach. He knows about the sickness you feel. He knows the feeling of despair that maybe takes over. He knows about the lowness of spirit that takes hold of you. He knows. Now, that's a comfort to begin with, isn't it? That there is somebody who knows. But there's more to that, isn't there, about this Heavenly Father? Well, 2 years ago, I had to have a replacement hip operation. And before I went to see the consultant in the hospital, people were being very encouraging. They say, who's the consultant? So I would say the name. I say, oh, wow, you've got a good consultant there. He's been doing hips for years. And there's nothing about hips that he doesn't know. And we could line up the successful operations that he's achieved. And, you know, they'd go on and on about this great hip man. And they say, you're in safe hands. We're in safe hands. He knows everything that there is to know. We're in safe hands. And so you see, when life's storms and tribulations come and we begin to tip over to the realm of worry, Jesus Christ says, stop, don't worry. Your Father knows. You're in safe hands. And you sleep. You put it out of your mind and says, I'm in safe hands. It is well with my soul. And with him, he will give me all things that I need. It is well. Number 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, the point he makes here, he's made it twice before, earlier in the chapter. Do you remember where I began the reading? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What do you worry about when you worry? There are always things to do with this life. They are to do with the things which the rust and the moth can destroy, and they are to do usually with the things that the thieves can steal. They are to do with things of time and space. And what Jesus Christ says here is, I quote a Welsh hymn here. Those of you who understand Welsh are with me. Then I'll translate it to English for those of you who don't understand. Cod fy meddwl, uwch gofidiau amser, at a ti dy hun. Lift my thoughts above the worries of time to yourself. This is the great sixth encouragement in the midst of worries. Lift your thoughts above the things of time to God himself. And isn't that exactly what we find in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What about me? No. Thy kingdom come. What about me? No. Thy will be done. What about me? Now give us this day's daily bread. That's lifting your mind above the worries of time. Praying the Lord's Prayer. Because what comes first in the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And as one commentator put it, if you've got to worry about something, worry about those three things. Worry about whether his name is hallowed. Worry about whether his kingdom is coming. And worry whether his will is being done on earth. You've lifted your mind over the trivialities of the small problems of life here on earth. You've lifted it up to the issues of heaven. That's what he's saying here, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the things to do with that. And God will take care of all the other aspects of your life. So when you come to the end of it, you won't be able to complain. You will have no grudge against him. But he will thank you for the way he's led you through. From heavenly Jerusalem's towers, the path through the desert they trace. And then all those difficulties of life will redound to the glory of his praise. Lift your mind above it. And so when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're starting to worry about different things, say, stop. I'm going to think of heaven. I'm going to think about God's work. And maybe you'll pray for others who've got other problems and difficulties. And your worry disappears. Yeah. And that leaves number 7. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, worry has always to do with tomorrow, doesn't it? You're always worrying, what will happen tomorrow? What will happen to that lump on my hand? What will happen to my job tomorrow? What will happen to my children tomorrow? It's all to do with tomorrow. And Jesus Christ says, stop thinking about tomorrow. Live today. Now, why does he say that? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? Because all the six comforts that we've mentioned already, which apply today, will all be in place tomorrow if you are still worrying. So forget about tomorrow. Deal with today. And isn't that what the Christian life is? Yesterday, you see, is behind us. It's mistakes. It's failures. its disappointments and worries, they've all gone. Tomorrow is still yet to come. But we have now, today. And one person put it like this: our effectiveness for today is often destroyed by having regrets about yesterday and worrying about tomorrow. And isn't that so true? We become ineffective today because we still have burdens which we're carrying from yesterday. Or we're dead worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And instead of getting on with living life to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ today, we leave yesterday and tomorrow to rule over us. So how does the Christian deal with these situations? Well, you see, the day comes to an end. And I trust that you do this. You go to your bed at night, and before you finally go to sleep, you pray and you confess all your failures to God. Really feeling that you haven't lived as you should have lived. And then you remind yourself that He is faithful to forgive our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He clears the slate. And then you can put your head on your pillow and sleep, knowing that yesterday has come to an end. Maybe there were missed opportunities, but you've confessed them. Maybe there were things you shouldn't have done, but you've confessed them. You've cleared the slate, and you sleep. Then you wake up the next morning with a new slate, ready to live life to His glory, deal with the problems of the day, but leave tomorrow, till tomorrow. Enough is the day, the evil thereof. And of course, sometimes, as we've all discovered, when tomorrow comes, what we could have been worrying about has disappeared. I love the story and the way it's recounted in Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, they were worried, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Ooh, how are we going to go? We're worried. And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. The cause of the worry wasn't there. And all the worrying they did on the way was a waste of time. And I'm sure we had experiences in life like that. You know, you've worried about something all night, and then the phone rings at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's gone. God has intervened in some way or another to roll the stone away from the mouth of the tomb. And there was nothing to worry about after all. He cares. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ giving 1/10 of the Sermon on the Mount to deal with this one human condition of anxiety, of worry. And we all know about it tonight, don't we? We've all know about it. And we've all tried to deal with it. And we all feel sometimes that we're not very good Christians because we're worrying so much. And here He says, don't worry. Think upon these 7 things that I'm putting before you. Look at the whole of life. Remind yourself that God cares. Look at the birds. Go out to the garden. Have a look at them. Remind yourself that worry doesn't change anything. It's just you suffering. Look at the lilies and regard the sumptuousness of God's preparation. He's not a tight-fisted God. Remind yourself that He knows all about your frail human condition, and He cares, as we've seen earlier, you're in safe hands. And then seek first the kingdom of God. Forget about the treasures of earth where the rust of the dust to corrupt and the thieves break through and steal, and say, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lift your heads above the things of time. And lastly, live today. Deal with yesterday before you sleep the night before. Deal with today and all its problems and difficulties, and leave tomorrow. Because by tomorrow, maybe they won't be there. And of course, maybe by tomorrow you won't be there either. You could have been taken to glory, to the treasure which is secure and there for you forever. For his name's sake. Amen.